food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, today I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Quit laughing out. Today is Friday.
Yeah, I'm the one who's trying to maintain a serious demeanor on this program.
Friday, April 4th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody. Today.
Oh, no. We'll see
if they break out during the program or not. But Melody has the giggles, and I just want all of you to be forewarned.
Hey, it's a good day when gold is up, and, it's been a hectic day here in the markets and here at Discount Gold and Silver. It'll bring a giggle to anyone. And so a lot of strange things are going on in the markets. Maybe they're not so strange, but maybe they're past due, or maybe it's just a temporary situation. But let's get to the gold and silver markets first. You have gold. Gold up $17 today at $13.04. You had silver up 15 cents at $20.06. Platinum was up 8 at $14.52. Palladium was up $1 at $792. And all the precious metals are off their highs of the day. You have the USDX trading a little bit lower, 0.06, but still at 80.41. And crude oil was up almost a dollar, 0.87, at 101.16. And the paper markets, after they came out with the job report today, markets went up. Both the Dow and the S&P had hit intraday highs. And then they had a very sharp reversal. You had the NASDAQ down almost 3% today after a 1% drop yesterday. So those are big numbers for the NASDAQ. You had the Dow, down just about 1%, down 160. That's not so bad. But they certainly did have a turnaround. They're certainly blaming it all on the tech stocks like Amazon and LinkedIn. So. But Dow is down 159 points at 16,412. The NASDAQ down 110, 2.60%, 41.27. The S&P down 23. That was down 1.25% at 18.65. And the 10-year yield, 2.73 at 0.06. So you don't know if it's in timing with the jobs report today, with the tech stocks being dropped, or does it have a lot to do with the discussions on the flash trading? And, could that be having an impact on any of the markets today, and maybe that's why we're seeing it certainly in the tech sector. But out of the European markets today, before we get into the job market, the European Central Bank, they said yesterday that, hey, we're going to do some sort of quantitative easing if it's necessary. So again, it's just another sign that things are not doing very well in Euroland, and they'll be, you know, taking the signal from the Federal Reserve on how to do it, when to do it, and how much to do it, and how to get away with the where you can just print. I mean, maybe we're done paying them the money. I mean, we were found to have given trillions of dollars to Europe during the crisis, so maybe we are running out of money. We can no longer do that. So now they're going to have to come up and do their own quantitative easing.
There was even some talk back a week or 10 days ago that Europe was going to have to start supplying us with some money.
Could be.
All right, there was some talk about that, and I don't know where it went, but it's evidence that, you know, I understand that our government can print as much money. In theory, it can print as much money as it wants. In theory, all right, in a kind of theory. But the truth is there are limits, and it appears that they have approached, they recognize that they are near limits right now. And part of the reason for that, of course, is that who's providing most of the currency that's going to the federal government when they post a bond? And the answer is the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve is buying 70, maybe even 80% of the bonds that the government is issuing, which means no one else will take our bonds. Which means, in fact, if the Federal Reserve couldn't print an endless stream of money, it would become apparent that our bonds are no longer worth anything. All right, or at least they're not worth as they're worth only a fraction of what they seemingly. Of the value that's apparently there at the moment. So the whole thing is just talk about it on a regular basis. The economy is fragile. The financial system is fragile. And we can watch to see whether we are going to get through this era of fragility, if there is a word. Is fragility a word?
Sounds
you don't
good.
Know.
Sounds
yeah, good. Fragility. Yeah, maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know. It is now.
But
it's like
Hulk. Hulk.
See, that's the second word I've coined on this program. Maybe Hulk for sure. I don't know if I've got a clear claim on fragility or not.
But the go ahead, Ali.
We are in peculiar circumstances. And as someone pointed out previously, we are in circumstances. I think Greg Hunter was quoting someone else talking about the same thing when he was on the program Wednesday? And he pointed out we are in completely unknown territory. No one really knows what's going on right now. Because we've never been here before. We've never been in these kinds of circumstances before. Now, all by itself, that should tell people that it's sensible to be prepared for whatever might happen. It's like we're riding down... You know, we've been going over hills and whatever, driving. Now we are going down a mountain road with switchback turns on it, and we aren't sure if our brakes are functioning. It's a completely different world, and we have to wonder, will we make all the turns or will we go over the edge? We don't know. We'll watch and see, but...
And it's also, do you want to be in that vehicle or would you rather be on the sidelines? And I much would rather be on the sidelines holding my gold than being in any type of a vehicle that has a chance of going off the cliff. But
I'll tell you a story about going off a cliff. It has nothing to do with economics, but I was in Colorado years ago. This would go back, I don't know, at least 30 years ago, 35, maybe even 40. I don't recall clearly. There was a guy comes up. He's going over Loveland Pass. They were in a blizzard, and he's driving over the top of the pass, and he sees a place where a car went over the side and went down. All right, didn't go over a cliff. It rolled and whatever, but it went down, who knows, 100 feet, whatever. down the side of the embankment, and he knew it would happen just recently because the tracks weren't snowed in. It was snowing hard. The tracks were fresh. He knew the car. He went down. He parks his car. He goes down to see if he can help any survivors. The doors on the truck has been rolled, and the doors are open. He can't find any survivors. The snow is deep. He goes up and gets help. They get 10, 12 people cut together, and they've got these poles, and they're walking through the drifts of snow and down the side of this mountain, and they are poking in the drifts looking to see if there's any bodies buried there in the snow. And finally, they have to give up when it gets dark. And he goes into town. The original guy goes in, that spotted the car that went over the side, truck went over the side, goes into town, pulls into a bar, and there's a guy sitting at the bar. He's got half a dozen shots of whiskey in front of him, and he's just taking them down, one by one and by one, taking them down. And this guy sits down next to him, and the guy drinking the shots, he looks over and he says, you know what happened to me tonight? I went off Loveland Pass. So the point of the story is, while these other people are searching for this guy up in the drifts, he's in town getting drunk. So that's my going over cliffs story.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't necessarily relate, but it at least amuses me.
Well, I'm glad that it does amuse
you. Important. You got to keep the hosts have to find something amusing to kind of, you know, keep them.
Well, this might find some folks amused, keep them amused. With the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they announced today that the economy added a healthy 192,000 jobs in March. However, many of the economists, they were expecting 213. But yet the government calls this a milestone of the recovery. And I saw one tagline onto this milestone as more of a psychological milestone. It took 4 years to get to this point of all their, you know, great numbers and so forth. This is this jobs recovery has been the slowest on record.
Yeah.
Since the Labor Department started tracking the data in 1939. And the one thing, again, that the data misses is it does not factor in the growing population. And again, you can use John Williams' numbers, which I tend to believe more than anyone else's. But even if you use the unemployment number like the U6 rate, and of course that includes folks who are working part-time but want a full-time job, and those who have given up looking for a job out of frustration, even that figure has declined. It actually increased in March from 12.6% to 12.7%. And, you know, they're saying that the jobs have, you know, where we were in 2008. And, of course, you know, I just find that very hard to believe.
Well, even if they have returned the number of jobs to where they were in 2008, that's at the peak of the employment, probably, and certainly right about the time when we began to slide into our Great Recession. But the population has grown in the last 6 years.
Yeah,
that's what we're talking about. How much the population is probably increasing? I don't know how much we grow a year, but I'd bet 15. Might be 15 million a year, something like that. I don't know if that's true or false, but it has to be several million. We haven't accounted for those extra people in this country. You know, we could have 100% employment as compared to what it was back in 1900. Well, no big deal. Population was a fraction of the size it is today, and therefore, it's just more sunshine, sunshine, sunshine. You know, you're going to get a tan listening to all the happy talk that comes out of the White House and the Congress, pumping sunshine. I'm gonna have to get some suntan lotion with it.
Well, everyone was expecting a bigger bounce back because of the weather conditions in the first part, but they didn't show up. And so the average job growth that we've seen so far in 2014 is 178,000, where last year it was 194,000 per month. But something else that didn't happen for March was the jump in pay. The average hourly wages also fell in March. So they were up, but yet they were still down.
And, what do you mean they were up, but they were still down?
It was higher than what they anticipated, but it was still down from what it was in February.
Okay.
So it's...
There's another point to the numbers you're talking about. They expected a bounce after we accounted for the weather, the bad weather of the wintertime. They said, we had unseasonably cold weather, and that explains some of the low numbers we had during December, January, and so on. But if we don't get that bounce, what does that tell us? It tells us that weather is not the excuse for the low numbers in January mm-hmm. and December. That's the implication. If we don't get a weather bounce when the weather improves, then it appears that weather may not have been the cause of whatever we saw in the first place back in December, January. And that means we have fundamental issues to be addressed that are other than weather.
Well, the reason why that they can't blame the weather is, contracting. I mean, that's part of the sector that's done very well. And yes, of course they would, because I've experienced it myself. During the winter, you didn't have laid off contractors. With all the cold temperatures, you had major damage that was done to homes because of frozen pipes and businesses. So contractors were busy during this winter season. Plus,
that's
you have
true.
All that snow removal. I mean, look how hard these states and cities have worked to keep the roads cleared. So, if it was a normal, just cold, perhaps. But people were kept busy, and so, no. I would expect to have seen numbers much, much higher because of those reasons. And so, I think these job numbers are... Again, it's much more...
It's just more evidence that they aren't giving us a straight shuffle. All right, the truth is they don't want to tell us the truth. That's the truth. All right, if that makes any sense to anyone. Government doesn't want to tell us the truth. Why? Because if you knew the truth, you would be more concerned than most people are right now. The truth does not inspire our confidence. Therefore, they lie. Confidence is particularly important when you have a fiat currency, and the only thing that really supports it is public confidence. And therefore, in order to maintain the value of the fiat dollar, we have to maintain our confidence, and they have to tell us happy songs. They have to sing happy songs to us every day. And I understand it on one level. Again, it's not a surprise. To some degree, it makes sense. It has to be done. You have to try to hold the economy together however you can. I can understand that the government has that obligation, but it also has an obligation to help people be prepared for what may be coming. And they're not going to be prepared if we just listen to happy talk.
The obligation they had was not to put us in the position that we're in.
Well,
their obligation was not to take us. We were to have a monetary system, not to fail us. And, so people are going to be damaged and hurt by their incompetence. So, yes, they do have they can have the, they need to keep a lid on it to some degree, but yet it is their fault. It is their...
And they don't want to admit
ineptness,
that.
their inability.
Well, that's
and taking us off the gold standard.
Yeah. And in doing so, they allowed the government to grow spectacularly.
Yes.
If you believe in limited government, you have to believe in a gold or silver backed currency. It's because we have fiat currency that the government can spin as much money as it needs, or at least as much currency out of thin air as it thinks it needs. It can borrow endlessly because it can pay it back. It can pay its debts back with increasingly worthless pieces of paper. They can use inflation. If we had a gold-based currency, they can't spin the gold out of thin air. They either have the gold or they don't have the gold. And when it comes time to pay it off, you got to pay the bill with an ounce of gold. No small thing. It's one thing to pay the bill with $1,300 printed out of the digital ones and zeros are currency, paper currency. But you start paying gold, you get serious. You don't have these accounting problems where money disappears and government grows erratically. I'm Alfred Addis, here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom, and we'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Hey, we got some Mint State 62 $20 gold pieces. They're still under $1,500, slightly above. The premiums rose a little bit. They were up $30 today. They're just a little bit above $100 above a gold bullion piece over a gold eagle piece. Mint State 62 $20 gold pieces. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. Remember, we still got the Silver Eagles 275 over spot, free shipping on boxes of 500 plus. And if you buy two boxes or more, we'll save you even a little more. So some really great pricing here at Discount Gold and Silver. We ship very quick, very easy to make your payment, either by personal check or a bank wire. And give us a call. Again, 1-800-375-4188.
Okay, what's next, Melody?
I believe we have a caller, Jim from West Virginia.
I just thought I'd try to liven things up a little bit. Economics is the study of what people want and need and how they go about getting it. It's very simple. But there are many facets of it. And I used to read economics books because I was a little bit crazy last one I was in the 80s. But there was a magazine out many years ago called Kiplinger. And I remember this one because it was so simple and so clear, this fellow's breakdown of what was going on in America. And this is the 60s. He broke the society down into four categories. We have the protector class. That's what the government's supposed to be, protecting the right to lives or property, what have you. There was the predator class, okay? The criminals, okay? There is the parasite class. Now, some parasites, you could say that a child is a parasite, but you give certain things to this child, and there's not a problem there. But there's a certain percentage of the parasite class who could work but choose to live off the producer class. All of them must live off the producer class. These are the people that produce the food, the fuel, the fiber, the tools, the materials, the finished goods, services that people want and need in order to live. So he was making observations then that the protector class was becoming more of a predator class.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the predator class, they can be billionaire counterfeiters who call themselves bankers. They can be, unfortunately, most of the people in the government now, those that not all, but those who take from others. They take control of that which does not belong to them instead of being protectors. So a big chunk of the government is now the predator class because they're feeding off the producers. And what it boils down to is the predator-parasite class has grown to the point where the producer class can no longer support them. We can expect the price of everything to go up as the producer class is being destroyed. Now, I've said time and time again, the way to balance the budget is to go through, find all the unconstitutional agencies, agencies of corporate name, and defund them at the rate of 10% a year or 20% a year, something along those lines. But they're talking about a new constitution. That ain't going to help. We've got to enforce the old one. And you're going to have to examine yourself, because in the days to come, we won't be able to afford very many parasites.
No, I understand. There's going to come a moment when people who have behaved as parasites are not going to be valued. And they're going to think they're just going to walk in and they're entitled to something, and they're going to discover, no, if you don't provide something, you don't eat. You don't work, you don't eat. All right? That's going to be a big shock for a big chunk of America. And when that happens, a lot of those people are going to perish.
Absolutely. And there's going to be, this is one which gets me, because violence is a choice. I am a pacifist. That means I don't start fights. Blessed are the peacemakers, because they'll be called the children of God. And I say this because I'm a pacifist. But there is going to be a horrendous backlash at the predator class. And this is from history. I even had the FBI come out and visit me, because I said this to a city policeman one time and sent the FBI after me. We had a very nice conversation. Two very nice, fine gentlemen. I still pray for them in the right manner. But I said, look, if public sentiment goes against you guys, the people will rise up and take you out. Be nice to people. If you don't follow the golden rule, bad things will happen to you. But what it boils down to is, folks, you got to examine yourself. The real economy is about producing food, fuel, fiber, meaning clothing, whatever people need. And if you're not doing that, you're not going to fare well in the times to come. And I will tell you something else, too. The protector class cannot protect you from your unrepentant, unprepared neighbor. So I want you to think very carefully. If you're not producing goods and services that people want and need, are willing to pay for, you'd better try to figure out how you can start doing that. Now, there's only about three ways to get around the, quote, system, end quote, of taxing everything. Because if you spend a dollar, two-thirds of that, ultimately you have to go pay taxes on everybody and everything. You learn how to fix it yourself. You learn how to grow it yourself. You learn how to make it yourself. You invest in capital goods, meaning goods which you make money with, as opposed to consumer goods, which is something you ultimately flush or throw into the landfill. But if you're going to prepare for the future, prepare your mind and examine yourself right now, because there ain't going to be enough money to pay the parasites. There is going to be a violent backlash against the predators. You're going to find out, you predators out there who are taking people's rights and their money and control of their lives and enslaving them in prisons, there are a lot of people right now. You have the protection of your what you think is your government. But when the public tide turns against you, it's going to be wholesale slaughter, and you're going to turn into the prey. So I'm saying this so you can get out and get into something productive of a real something. It isn't just about the Dow Jones and the unemployment figures and the inflation figures. Those are very weak indicators, and they all pretty much lie. But the point I'm trying to make is, think about how it is that you're going to provide for what you need and want,
And there's one other point. There's one other point also. You have to learn to become more frugal. All right? If you're in the habit of living large and going out there and just spending money and you're going to have to lose your appetite for excessive spending. You're going to have to learn to live, and now is not a bad time. Instead of going out and wasting your money on a bunch of things, you should be saving it. It's going to be important to have some sort of savings, even if it's in the form of food, in the form of gold, in the form of ammunition, whatever. But you got to have something. If it's in toilet paper, people are going to want toilet paper, I guarantee. But you got to do something. The way you acquire that is you stop wasting your money on impulse purchases, and you sit back and say, I've got to save, and or convert this money that I've got into something tangible, real, that people are going to want later on.
And you can make money with. Now, Alfred, a few years back, I had 7 cars on the road, including a 50 Studebaker, a 68 Cougar, and a 69 Austin Healey Sprite, and 3 Suburbans, and Diane's car on the road. They're old Suburbans. I use them as work vehicles. After I got my business blown up from Madrid, I've had to go from a house in the nicest part of Charles with 2 2-car garages, an electronics shop behind one of them, and a woodworking shop above the other, geek cabin, dark room in the basement, which I'd rarely use. 3 computers, 2 online, DSL, 3 phone lines, and now I'm living in a teeny tiny little log cabin out in the middle of nowhere with chickens and a garden and cut wood. But I don't know how many people who are awake say, oh, my God, that sounds like a little piece of heaven out there.
Yeah, I know. And I understand that. If we have a problem, if there is a serious economic problem, remains to be seen whether we really get it. Worst case scenario, probably not, but something serious. You're in circumstances where, to some degree, you might barely notice a real problem. Other people are in circumstances where the problem will be undeniable and perhaps overwhelming in just a matter of days. 1 week of a real serious problem, and it's going to be something that people are going to think they're in some sort of a zombie movie.
My mother said, and she was aware, my dad learned about all this trash in World War II, but my mother said there were people who are living in this part of Charleston, the nicest part of Charleston, who will envy people living in mud huts in Africa if this economy comes apart as hard as we think it's going to come apart. Of course, that they thought it was going to go in the 80s. But here's what I'm trying to mention, folks. Now, Melody's trying to tell you, Alfred's trying to tell you, a lot of Patriot broadcasters trying to tell you the truth. But you got to start, first of all, tyranny begins and ends in the mind. You've got to start calling out the criminals. The criminals, anybody takes control of that which belongs to somebody else. And anybody, I don't care what kind of uniform or robe they have on or suit, anybody takes control of that which belongs to somebody else is a criminal. And all criminals want to take control of that which belongs to somebody else. There's not going to be room for these people, and there will be a correction in it. There are going to be a lot of people dying, too. But you'd learn, if you're part of this system, you better figure out how you can survive if this comes apart. Survive not only a lack of money, but also if you have mistreated a lot of people, every time you're a bad cop and you tick somebody else off, you've probably made about 2 enemies. Things will not go well for you in the future. You might want to think about, if you're a good guy and you've been following bad orders, as my beloved Latin professor said, he knew 9 languages, doctorate in divinity from Princeton, leading Christian figure in Czechoslovakia, escaped in 1956, papers handed him to him for citizenship by Dwight Eisenhower. I saw the photograph. He said, when young men stop believing old men's lies, wars will end. Also, if America does not take her war machine apart, somebody will do it for her. America started out on her knees, and she will go back to her knees one way or the other, implying in prayer, and one way or the other, we're going to go back. Now get ready.
We aren't going back any place until we actually become a more moral people who are prepared to hold people in positions of power accountable and not buy the crap. This is not just that we are not simply the victims of a government that has gone awry. We are co-conspirators insofar as we have winked at corruption and immorality, and we just think it's a joke. And we're going to pay for that as a nation, and we will not be restored until we have a kind of spiritual revival in this country.
And I'd like to say one more thing. I've got to say one more thing. Our collective sin, there's sins of omission and commission. Commission when you do something bad, omission when you don't do something you should. Our collective sin as a nation has been in not standing up for our neighbor. And I want to thank you so much for your program. I think as more and more people will listen, it'll start clicking to them, and I pray that this happens before it's too late.
All right, Jim, thanks very much for your call. We'll talk to you another time. We got about 3-4 minutes left before our next break. Melody, here I've got something. Here's something from Conservative Bites, or Conservative Action Alerts. And shock, secret study suggests Obamacare enrollment figures are bogus. President Obama wants to announce, I believe he claims he's got 7.1 million people to sign up. I'm not sure if that number's accurate. I think that's what he's claiming. I saw one report where he wanted the news or the TV stations to give him time where he could announce, we have 7.1 million signups for Obamacare. And the mainstream TV stations said, no, we don't need you. All right, it's a snub for the president. It's an indication he doesn't draw. Nobody believes him. I don't know what it means, but even the mainstream TV isn't going to give him a break. But here's the report from Conservative Action Alerts, and it says, shock, secret study suggests Obamacare enrollment figures are bogus. I'm surprised, Melody, they're giving us phony numbers again.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Who could imagine this was possible? Tell me a number coming out of Washington other than the temperature. I would trust them if they told me what the temperature was. Well, that's probably true. But other than that, I don't think we can get. It's according to the this says, as reported by The Blaze and the UK Daily Mail, a secretive unpublished study from the RAND Corporation suggests that 23% of enrollees had no previous insurance. Now, that's just 23%. They thought we're going to, yay, all the uninsured are going to sign up for Obamacare. No, they didn't. Further, the study reveals that just 53% of previously uninsured Americans have actually paid for their new plans. That would mean the actual net gain of paid policies among Americans who lacked medical insurance in the pre-Obamacare days would be just 860,000 people. Now, this is not the kind of news that will inspire our confidence. Obama says we've got 7.1 million enrollments, but these people, RAND Corporation says, well, only 860 new enrollees from people who were previously insured. Fundamental idea behind Obamacare was to provide insurance for those who didn't have it, right? And it turns out those who didn't have it don't much want it.
Well, my question is, does that include the number of the 3 million Americans that signed up for Medicaid?
I don't know what it includes. I mean, the number...
These are the people who have no money. These are the people who have no insurance. And these are the people that taxpayers get to pay for. So if the 3 million, and this is only based on half of the states that are allowing people to sign up. So, I mean, this number will grow. So we don't know if this 3 million is included in that bogus number. I doubt if it is. I don't know.
Well, we have bogus numbers and bogus numbers and bogus numbers, and that's all we can seem to get. And all by itself, that should alert everyone there's something wrong going on. You should get prepared. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, you know, we were talking about the welfare system and so forth, and this number came out. I don't know. The budget office came out at the end of last year. The Senate Budget Committee came out and said the U.S. has spent about $3.7 trillion on welfare. I mean, that's an incredible number in 5 years. That beats the spending of transportation, education, and NASA. And it just goes to show. I think it's a big number. I don't know if, you know, you might think, oh, that's only $3.7 trillion. That's not a lot.
Well, it translates into over $500 billion. No, $700 billion per year.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
It is to me. And it's evidence of a problem we are facing as this society becomes increasingly technological. There are a lot of people who just aren't going to qualify for jobs. There was a time 50 years ago when what we did was so physical that you could find a job digging a ditch, driving a truck. Physical labor was possible, sweeping floors, right? If you weren't well educated, if you weren't very intelligent, there was still work for you. We've had so many labor-saving devices, and we have increased the technology to a point where it's going to be hard for a lot of people to find work. It's no longer available. I mean, there are no longer jobs readily available for people who aren't particularly well-educated, who aren't particularly intelligent. They're here. They've always been here. They are part of our community, our society, but we don't have jobs for them anymore. What are we going to do with them? This is not a small problem. I mean, you look at the predicament some of these people are in, and what do you expect them to do if they can't get a job? They're going to resort to crime. They have to become parasites. If they can't get a job and become a producer because they lack the education or the intelligence, what options do they have? You either become criminals and predate on other people, or you die. What do you think they're going to do? Or you persuade the government to provide you with welfare. And that comes at the expense of the people who are actually working hard, facing competition from foreign sources, foreign workers, where you see your own wages diminishing. If you're productive, you are not necessarily going to see that you're not necessarily going to raise in pay. And out of your pay, now you're paying for other people, a growing number of welfare recipients. What are you going to do? What are we going to do? Because this is not an easy problem to resolve. There are going to be a lot of people that are going to say the solution to the problem is violence. And how will we resolve it? And I don't know. I don't know how it's going to be resolved. But I think it's going to grow until we figure out what are we going to do with people who aren't really equipped to live in the society that's being generated right now.
And I agree. I mean, sure, there's trillions of dollars being spent elsewhere. But, I mean, you mentioned that that one time there was jobs for these. They could take care
it's
of
true.
Themselves.
It's true.
And it's not that I don't believe we shouldn't help people. I do. Don't ever mistake that. But it shows just how wrong everything is.
Well, it's not necessarily just wrong. It's a question of, this is like Greg Hunter was talking about, we're in territory we've never been before. We are moving into a world where a lot of us just don't have what's required to be productive. We're moving into a world where they're
we're
building.
We're required, but it was taken away from us.
No, it's not just taken
it was
away
taken
from us.
Away
it's
from
guys
them.
Just sitting there. It's guys who go in the garage and they develop some new machine. And it replaces, and that one machine replaces five people. And people say, yay, give me those machines, because then I don't have to pay labor, and I can sell the product to the people who are still productive for less, you know, for lower prices, and I can make more money at the same time. We are all
but
in favor of that kind of efficiency, and yet it creates a problem.
But you continue to read about how America doesn't have any unskilled laborers. That's why we need to open the borders more.
Yeah, I understand. That's just nonsense. That's a lie. That's another one of government's lies. They are endeavoring to combine us with Mexico.
Yep.
And they intend to achieve that by flooding this country with enough Mexicans where by the time those of you who live in this country wake up
person?
And realize what's going on, there'll be so many Mexicans running around here, there won't be anything you can do about it.
Or is it because people know that they can get the benefits and they don't have to work?
Well, that's part of the way they encourage them to come here. I get that. But they're not being encouraged just to replace the labor, you know, the jobs America doesn't want. They don't take the jobs America doesn't want. They take the wages.
Are there jobs
Americans
that Americans
Americans don't want. We have handled all of our jobs for a couple hundred years in this country. If we needed somebody to clean out a sewer, a septic tank, or do something that was completely offensive, people were there to do it. But it depends on the wage. There's a lot of jobs. I mean, there's certain jobs I wouldn't do for $1 an hour, but I might do them for $100 an hour. You understand? It depends on the wage. The illegal aliens coming into this country, they don't take the jobs we don't want. They take the wages we don't want. We do the job if we're getting a decent payment for it. The net result is our wage scale is falling. Huh? And we have people, a growing number of people who perhaps can't be employed. They legitimately lack the skills, the intelligence, the education. They can't be employed. What are you going to do with them? We're going to leave them to somebody else whose income is diminishing and let this other guy who's actually got a job, he's got to work harder to support people who can't have a job. How long can that continue? How long can that continue without causing enormous stress in the society between the community that actually works and produces and the community that thinks they're entitled to live for nothing? There's going to be trouble over this, not necessarily now. It might be several years from now. It might be a decade from now. I don't know when it's going to happen. But you can see this. You can see the foundation for this, and it's growing, and it's becoming more real. What are you going to do? I doubt that anyone in the audience has a painless solution to this problem. I doubt that anyone in the audience can even conceive of an effective solution to this problem that conforms to our idea of being civilized and living in some sort of a constitutional society. So it's just one of those, another one of those problems that's headed our way. It may not arrive in full force for some considerable period of time, but if we go into a difficult economic period where all of a sudden the food supply shuts down and the welfare supply shuts down and the people who are depending on welfare, how are they going to get any food? They will take to the streets. And if you have any food stored up, how are you going to protect it? You're going to have to lock and load if you want to protect the food. Otherwise, go ahead, share it with your neighbors, share it with your friends. It'll disappear in no time. You can get enough food stored up in your house to carry it for 2 years. How long do you suppose that'll last if the neighbors decide they need some of it? People will find out you'll be out of food in a month. And then what? Then you are one of the zombies walking down the street looking for something to eat. These are difficult problems. They are not here at the moment. They may not even get here, but they could get here. All right? They are not inconceivable. They're not, you know. So it becomes incumbent on all of us to try to prepare as best we can for what might be coming. And in worst case scenario, you might get into some of your preparations and turns out we weather the storm. No big deal. Our concerns are exaggerated and we get by without too much problem. All right. So what have you stored that's going to be harmful to you? You might have a year or two food supplied. All right. You can eat it. It may not be the most desirable food in the world, but you can eat that stuff. It'll consume. You got a rifle, you got some bullets, you can go shooting if you want to, you can do it recreationally. You got some gold, got some silver, yeah, it'll sell, it'll spend. You know, most of the things we really, really need that you can store up in the event of a very serious problem, they will still have value even if the problem that we're concerned about that we think might take place, even if it turns out we're wrong. You're not going to lose except in this sense. It may be that you want to go out and buy yourself a new car today. All right? Well, maybe you better not do that, and instead you'd better take the money that you planned on making the monthly car payment with and say, look, I'm going to put that money into some dehydrated food or some canned food or whatever. I'm going to put a couple $100 a month into canned food, and I'm going to store that against a possible problem. I'm going to take the money that I would have been making on the car payment, and I'm going to put that into a rifle and some ammunition, some gold and some silver. Well, you got to put things off. All right? You got to save now. You can't just spend now. You can't shop till you drop now. Now's the time to save. One form or another, save, and probably not in the form of paper, money. All right? So, I don't know. You know, and no one knows exactly what's right. You can listen to 100 different people tell you what you need to do about getting ready and getting supplied and being prepared for whatever's happening. And doesn't mean any one of them knows exactly what the your circumstances will be. We can talk about it in general terms. But specifics, you're going to have to prepare as best you can. You're going to have to do what you think is right. And you're going to have a mindset where you are prepared to take care of yourself in an independent manner. I want to thank all of you for listening today. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We will be back next Monday. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
message tender, saying I surrender all my love to you. Midnight brought a sweet romance. I know all my whole life through I'll be remembering you whatever else I do. Midnight were the stars and you.
Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.